Doing well today. My name is Penny and I'm the founder of the Clean and Tidy Home Show. And on today's live tea break, we're going to be joined by the lovely Jess Nix. Really can't wait to introduce you to Jess, and I think this is going to be a really special live. So just bear with me. I'm going to let Jess introduce herself once she joins us. So in the meantime, I'd love to hear from you, hear how you're doing today. Hi, Charlie. Hi, Joe. Really good to see you on the live today. And hello to anyone who's watching this back afterwards as well. Jess is in the live. Let's see if I can request you from this end. Otherwise, you might need to press request to join on your side if you can see it, Jess. We were talking about the tech challenges today, so I'm hoping that we're not going to have any of those today. So hopefully, oh, I can see a request. Oh, Charlie, sorry to hear that you're not feeling well. Really with me, Instagram should just be doing its thing. With any luck, Jess will suddenly appear. Dun, dun, dun. Yes,
huzzah! There she
is. We're in.
The tech goddesses are with us.
How are you this morning?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm really excited about this live and to introduce you. But yeah, I'd quite like you to introduce yourself, because you're going to do a far better job than I ever would. So you just want to tell us a bit about yourself, Jess.
I'm really excited to be here as well, because after meeting you the other day, I was just like, oh, kindred spirits. So, hello everyone, my name's Jess. I am a self-leadership coach, and I created a little coaching methodology called De-Bitch Your Brain a few years ago, which is garnering quite a reputation. So let me just break down what that means. So the word de-bitch is a verb, and it means to raise awareness of and then transform your relationship with your inner critic, that internal dialogue that is probably nearly always unhelpful, so that you're then able to transform everything else in your life, feel happier in your own body, feel more confident at work, feel like less of an outsider. Like, so many women that I speak to have this thing of like feeling like they don't belong, like that group's not for them. But anyway, off on a tangent. So I am an EFT and an NLP master practitioner, soon to be trainer. I'm a coach, and I've been doing this thing now for about 4 years. Nervous breakdown led me here, survivor of domestic violence. I lost my mum when I was 21. And actually what I've learned is that all of these kind of dark chapters of our life that are so awful when we're in them, they're like the thing that creates the phoenix that rises from the ashes. And I would not be here today if all of the really challenging things hadn't happened to me. And I've learned that it's all about this, right? Our mind. It's all about learning to understand that our thoughts are just fiction of the mind, and we get to choose whether we believe or obey them. So I'm going to pause it. There.
I love it. Can we just go back to use two acronyms there that I was like, Penny, remember them, Penny, remember them. In terms of what kind of practitioner, can you just explain for anybody who doesn't know what those acronyms mean?
Yes. Isn't the world just full of acronyms? So I apologise for not breaking them down. So many acronyms. I mean, you can do de-bitch your brain, DBYB, but EFT means emotional freedom technique. You might have heard it as tapping. So it's tapping on the meridian points in the body to release stuck emotions, so that, let's say you've got a really troubling memory from the past, you can tap on that so that your reaction to it is less, so that when you're then taking action in the future, that thing from the past isn't holding you back as much. The other acronym, NLP, this is my favorite one, neuro-linguistic programming. So this is a thing that was founded in the 70s, and essentially it is a way of understanding the world around you so that you're able to get better results. It's a way of organizing your thoughts, your mind, understanding your emotions, so that you're able to be more intentional and live a life more on purpose, rather than like, oh my God, because we all get so overwhelmed by the shit that's in our heads, right? So for me, learning about NLP was so much more powerful than all the talking therapy that I had, which is why it's in everything that I do. So thank you for calling me up to clarify. EFT, NLP. I said, you know me.
I love it. Now I have to read something from your website. This is a statement that you have on your website. You are simply human with a runaway mind that can be tamed. And I just love that. I love it so much. And that concept that it's also not our fault that sometimes our brains do these things to ourselves.
Yeah. I think that often we just, life is such a serious thing. Like we believe that we should be doing this thing, we should be doing that thing. And actually, the reason that I bring loads of humour to the table is because if we could all learn to celebrate our ridiculousness as humans, like, how weird is it that I have a body and, like, it moves and I, like, do you know what I mean? It's just weird being human. So I bring this concept into my work because sometimes we just need a reminder of our humanness. Like, we're not robots. We are not perfect beings. There is no such thing as perfection. So actually, if we can learn to celebrate our weirdness, our wackiness, the fact that we fuck up, the fact that we make mistakes, we swear in a meeting when we shouldn't have, whatever it is, then life's going to be easier. And so what I mean about the mind and how it's runaway and how it can be tamed is, well, I don't know about you, but I have an incessant noise in my head of, like, it's like a narrating everything that you see, everything that you do. This is what I call Bitch FM. So it's been playing in your mind since you were probably about 7 or 8 and self-awareness starts to kick in. And it's this that is the problem. And because it's been there for so long, we just accept it and it's just there. And there'll be things that are in our minds where we were, like, getting dressed in the morning and suddenly we take off that dress because there's been a little voice that's like, no, I don't think, no, your belly's sticking out too much or whatever it is. And we don't challenge it. We don't be like, yeah, but I love this dress. I want to wear this dress today. We just sort of accept this unhelpful narrative. And so through the art of debitching, we can learn to tame our minds and then have more control over it. But the thing is, what you're not aware of, you can't control. So you have to raise your awareness and become, like, just really active in your thinking to be like, hang on a minute, is this thought helpful? Is this one of my cast of bitches? I say there's a cast of bitches in your head, so one for every theme and every emotion in life that get in your damn way of doing the things that you want to do. So through becoming aware of, is this thought unhelpful? Yes, okay, I am now going to intentionally choose a different thought that will lead me in a different direction. And so just through becoming more aware, it's like you're taming, you're pulling all the bits back together in kind of one place that you just got it on a bit of a lead. And so you're in control of it and not the other way around.
And am I right in thinking that you're not suggesting that we don't have thoughts and emotions, but actually we can better control them? So they're always going to be there in some kind of capacity, but that we kind of control them. Or can you control them so much that then they stop happening as much? Like, what should good look like, I suppose, is probably the question I'm asking.
Well, I don't know whether there is such a thing as good or bad in this world. I think it's only ever the meaning that we make it. But one thing's for sure is that if you raise your awareness of what's going on in your mind, you are going to have more control over what triggers you. So when you're triggered, I call this being in the immersion zone, it feels like you've become the anxiety or like you've become the overwhelm. It's literally you. And this limits your options. But through being intentional and through understanding, raising awareness of what emotional state you're in, you can then make a choice. Do I want to go down this road of continuing the overwhelm, or do I want to take a breath and consciously do something differently that's going to take me in a different direction? So this is absolutely not about, like, I don't believe that it is possible to never have a negative thought. Of course not. We're humans. This is, like, part of evolution. We needed negative thoughts so that we would go running from, you know, the tigers and all that kind of stuff. That's where your inner critic came from. But it's about now in this world, with all the social media that has perpetuated the anxiety, it's about learning to understand yourself on a deeper level so that you are able to take an action, a step, say something that is more aligned with the real you, not the one that's, like, crazy overwhelmed and has got a billion things to do and, like, So yeah, I don't believe that you can ever not experience an emotion, because also if you wiped out, like, the emotions that we label as, like, bad, like, I never want to experience anxiety again. Well, everything has an opposite, right? So if you choose to never experience anxiety, then you're going to numb out the opposite of that, of joy and acceptance and calm. So I just think it's just a game.
Because I think sometimes I can certainly be like, why is that thought coming to my head? But actually it's there. It's what you do with it that matters, not that you had it in the first place.
Yeah. And I think with random thoughts, intrusive thoughts, like not to go down the corridor of mental health issues, but we've been programmed by the societies, the cultures that we've grown up in. If you've grown up in the UK, you will be really heavily influenced by the fact that our society is built upon monotheistic religion. So God, the man at the head of the table, women are the original sinners, and therefore we're at the bottom of the food chain. So it's really important to remember that when I say hell no status quo, the status quo of the society that we live in is not set up for us to flourish. It's not for us. So if there's something that's blocking you, that's getting in your way, question it. Because just because it is the status quo does not mean that you have to obey that, that you have to become the status quo. You can do something different. The rule book is only imaginary. So if the rule book is imaginary, then you can create your own new imaginary rule book, right?
Love it. So we've been talking a lot this month about give yourself grace. And we've maybe touched on this very slightly, but has this always been something that's been very easy for you to have for yourself, self-compassion? And obviously you've got incredible energy, but yeah, tell us where that comes from and whether you have found it easy in the past and whether you find it easier now and what that journey may or may not have been like for you.
Yeah, do you know what? I was reflecting on this earlier and I had a breakdown when I was 33, I'm 43 now. And when it happened, like, and that was like sort of like the pivotal moment of beginning to talk about the fact that I had anxiety, people in my life were like, you've got anxiety? What? Like, this can't be true. Because I presented like with the mask of everything like being okay, everything being like quote unquote normal, I had not yet admitted to myself there was a problem, because I was so afraid of what it would mean if I let one of the threads go. You know, it was like, I have to keep everything really tightly together, otherwise it's all gonna break. And actually, I think giving this yourself grace, I was not giving myself any grace. I was punishing myself through, because of a load of teen trauma that I went through. I had this deeply, deeply held belief that I was not worthy of love, which is why I ended up in a string of awful relationships and then experienced the domestic violence. I believed that I wasn't creative enough. I would compare myself to all of my colleagues. Back then I was what's known as a promo producer. So I used to make movie trailers. So I'd compare myself to everyone else and I would not take into account that they had 20 years experience. And I'd just be like, no, well, I'm shit at what I do. And I was really bullied by a boss back then. And That was really character building. My gosh, I always thank him actually for inadvertently helping me become like the badass energetic person that I am, because I will refuse to be beaten now. But back then, I didn't give myself any grace because I believed it. This is the thing. I was believing all of my thought that I'm not good enough. I can't do it. This place isn't meant for me. I don't belong. All of this stuff. And it became so overwhelming that then pop, then came the nervous break. Down. And that is when, I wouldn't say I realized then that I was giving myself grace, but that's when I realized that, oh, when you start to talk about stuff, the truth, when you're real with yourself and you start to slow down, meditate, be grounded, take a moment to not do five things at a time, which is incredibly difficult if you are an ADHD human that's highly creative with lots of ideas. That's when I started to give myself grace. And then through understanding more about the mind, through all the coaching and the neurolinguistic study, NLP studies that I've been doing, I've really started to realize what that means and accept myself for who I am, for what I am. And I think part of that acceptance journey is understanding the polarity of who you are. So for example, one of the character traits in myself I don't like that much is I'm really impatient. But sometimes I lack tact because I'm just so impatient, just getting it done. And actually, the opposite of that is the fact that I get shit done. I can take action and just sort all the stuff out that is not happening or that other people haven't sorted out or whatever in a work scenario, and it's just done. And that is a brilliant thing. So actually, it's pretty cool. Like, this negative thing about myself has enabled the positive thing. You know, I'm like really dramatic and over the top with my emotions, but that enables being great on stage. So actually, learning to accept all of your parts is where the grace comes in. And if you can learn to love, or maybe if love's too much of a strong word, if you can learn to like or appreciate those bits of you that you label as too much, not enough, whatever, then that's where the grace comes in. And it's much more comfortable being human when you give yourself.
And is it easier said than done? Is it that you've just got to find the right approach for you? Like, what? Why aren't all of us doing this better already? You know, if amazing people like you exist and these processes that we and approaches that we can adopt exist, why aren't we all just doing it?
Oh, I love this. It's such a good question. I was just trying to read some of the comments. I'm like, this is everything. Thank you. Do you know what? It's hard fucking work. That's why not more people do it. I think we live in a society of such throwaway, disposable stuff, you know, swipe, next date, whatever, ghosting, that we sort of apply that notion to ourselves in terms of like mental, physical upkeep. If I don't go to the gym and lose a kilo in one day, then I ain't fucking doing it. And it's the same thing with your mind. Like, this isn't a quick swack a plaster on it and everything's going to be okay. It's a commitment to the knowledge, the awareness that I can transform how I feel if I learn to shut out all of this external stuff and go within and be patient, be consistent, and just make a promise to myself. I always get my clients to do like a hand on heart at the end of a session and say, right, what am I promising myself that I'm going to commit to? Because when we keep promises to ourselves, we're building the bricks in the wall of our self-belief, right? So keeping a promise to yourself is one of the most powerful things you can do. If you break promises to yourself, I'm going to go for a run at 7 a.m, and then you don't do it, that's when it's like, oh, well, I'm not really a woman that shows up for myself, so what's the point? So yeah, it's a commitment and it's a long game, but my gosh, are the rewards insane? Because the thing is, the more you learn about yourself and be compassionate towards yourself, guess what? The more you understand other people and the more compassionate empathy you have for other people. And so you'll find that your perspective, your perception of the people in your world, of the situations in your world, it just opens up. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I realize why this person's been such a dick, because I can see it from their point of view and they're not actually a dick, they're just having a really shit day. So yeah, I think it's a practice, you know, and you gotta want to do it. That's it. How much do you want the change? How much do you want that goal of yours where you are flourishing or blooming or whatever it is? Because if you really want it, can do it, you just have to promise and commit to raising awareness of everything that's going on in your mind.
We've had a comment from Joe saying, I would love for you and Danny Dawkins to get together. And what's amazing is they will be at the Clean and Tidy Home Show on the extra stage. So I love that we've just had that comment. I think it was Joe that made it. Brilliant.
I can't wait for that.
So excited. And I love that Danny at one point, you know, what do you need to do? She was like, be extra. Love that.
Be extra.
But I think it's really interesting because I think it's been, like, I almost keep thinking about kind of diets or whatever, and this, because I often think one Monday morning I'm going to wake up and it will just be easy, or something is just going to change in my mind and I will be able to practice self-compassion, or I won't want to do five things at once or whatever. One day I'm just going to wake up and that thing that keeps going in my mind or creates those challenges is going to stop. And you're so right, it's a commitment, like with a diet or to diet or to see, you know, you need to be consistent to see long-standing change. Yeah. And it's not something that you're just going to be good at it. You've just got to keep doing it, keep practicing it. And I think we can be all too wanting of instant fixes. Yeah. And they're not there really, are they? As you say, it's hard work.
And also a reality check on the consistency, right? Just because I'm a coach and I talk about this stuff, I teach this stuff, doesn't mean that I'm like immune to it. So yesterday I had to give myself a write-off for the afternoon because I was entering into my luteal phase of my cycle, which is when ADHD symptoms are worse, and everything felt like I was having a freaking meltdown. It was a lot. And so because I'm practicing self-compassion, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make this mean anything other than today's a shit day. It doesn't mean I'm a crap human. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be successful. It doesn't mean tomorrow's going to be awful as well. It's just an acceptance that as women, you know, we're secular beings, like everything is changing on a daily basis. So one day you wake up, you might feel like doing loads of meditation and tapping or whatever. Great, jump on that. The next day, you might not have that same thing, and that's fine. Just because online, all the freaking gurus and podcast hosts are like, if you're not doing your morning routine that lasts 5 hours getting up at 4 a.m., then you're not a proper human. Like, it's so bollocks. It's so toxic. Like, no, hell no to that status quo. You do you.
I love it. Now, I'm really sad to say that we need to wrap up, but there is going to be so much more of Jess coming, especially on the extra stage, interviewed by the lovely Danny Dawkes. But I'd love you, Jess, just to leave us with just a couple of bit like nuggets or even one statement to leave us with today so that we can practice more self-compassion, debitch our brains a bit, you know, one class of parting words for us.
Yes. Okay. So number one, remember that you're human. So if an unhelpful thought pops into your head or you make a mistake, you just say to yourself, how human of me, which is going to help your nervous system not have a freak out response. Number two, remember your thoughts are just fiction of the mind. If they're unhelpful and they're not serving you, you do not have to believe them and you do not have to obey them. And number three, hell no status quo. Remember that you do not have to conform to the standards that say you should, that's a horrible word, that you should be this, you should be doing that. No, you get to choose, be intentional, challenge, break the rules.
I love that. I love it so much. And I know that everybody watching this has loved it. And I hope everybody else that's watching it back enjoys it as much as I've enjoyed being part of it. But thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Give us a follow and do share the live so that other people can get to know what debitching your brain means, because it means more mental freedom.
Which we all need. So thank you so much, and really look forward to catching up with you all soon. Take care.
It's a pleasure. See you soon.
Bye.